Good morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History Syndicated newspaper column. You'll find the full details of the service at offbeatoregon.com. Please do check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of Uncle Joab Powell, the first chaplain of the first Oregon State Legislature. Quite a lot more than the legislature bargained for. Uncle Joab gave to our state a whole lot of political firsts, including, of course, first chaplain of the legislature, first prayer offered up within the halls of the legislature, more about that in a minute, first act of state legislative deficit spending, first political fundraising event, first incident of throwing money at a problem until it goes away, and Oregon's first legislative den of iniquity. Of course, Uncle Joab wasn't responsible directly for all of these things, but they wouldn't have come about if it weren't for him. I'll tell you that story here in just a half a second. It was first published on June 6th, 2010. Here we go. Pioneer and Baptist circuit rider Uncle Joab Powell was famous for spending hours preaching when the Spirit moved him. So when he took the podium before the first regular post-statehood meeting of the Oregon legislature in 1860, one imagines the representatives settling themselves down comfortably for a long discourse. What they got was a bit shorter.
"Father, forgive them!" roared Uncle Joab.
Uncle Joab's voice, by the way, was legendary.
"For they know not what they do!"
And he sat back down. In subsequent invocations, though, Uncle Joab did go on longer, much to the dismay of the representatives there. Although Uncle Joab was the most renowned preacher in Oregon at this time, the lawmakers hadn't quite realized quite what sort of preacher he was when they offered him $30 for what he liked to call his sarvices. Uncle Joab was from Tennessee. Uncle Joab was in his 60s, just under 6 feet tall, and a good 300 pounds. He was born in the South, in the hills of Tennessee, but he was a fierce abolitionist and fought with all his considerable forces for Oregon to be a free state. His place of birth could be deduced from listening to his accent as he preached his sarvices. Atop his broad shoulders was a massive head, seeming to have no neck, from which exhortations and imperfectly remembered Bible verses emerged at tremendous volumes. He himself was illiterate, but his wife read to the family from the Bible every night, and he had a good, if not entirely perfect, memory. His eyes were blue and piercing, his hair wild and unkempt. He had that magic combination of ferocious passion and brotherly love that good Baptist revivalists are known for, and in his travels as a circuit preacher, it was remarkably effective. By the time he appeared in the legislature in 1860, he had baptized at least 3,000 people. Not that you'd know it to look at him. He cared little for his appearance, and when he came before the legislature, he was wearing homemade clothes spun and stitched by his wife, Anna Beeler Powell. Joab and Anna were the leaders of a family of 14 living on their homestead at the forks of the San Yam River. Keeping 14 people in store-bought clothes would have been impossible. When Uncle Joab arrived on the first day, he also smelled a bit farmish. He had been shoveling manure when the messenger from Salem arrived to invite him to come and preach. Soon the representatives were wishing they had left Powell on his farm with his shovel and thinking perhaps they didn't need a preacher after all. When they worked up the courage to tell him so, he was gracious and affable. "Yeah, just give me my $30, he told them, "and I'll head for home." This was a problem, because if Uncle Joab had provided the state legislature with its very first plea for divine assistance, he was also the occasion of its first example of deficit spending. It turned out that the $30 he had been promised for his services was not in the budget. Of course, the legislators were mostly men of means. They would certainly be capable of passing the hat around to come up with his $30 from their personal resources, but of course, they weren't going to do that. So the legislators came up with a plan for another Oregon political first, the fundraising event. They printed up a stack of flyers advertising a grand entertainment in Salem, with Uncle Joab as the headline act. They hoped to make about $30 at the gate. Well, they underestimated Salem's thirst for grand entertainment. Gate receipts came to about $300, and when Uncle Joab took the stage, he faced an enormous crowd. Well, Uncle Joab was a seasoned performer, so there likely wasn't much to worry about. but probably remembering the 22nd prayer with which the preacher had opened the first legislative session, lawmakers were nervous. If Uncle Joab bombed in front of half the city, it would certainly reflect poorly on them. Luckily, Senator Victor Trevitt had a plan. He armed a group of youngsters with handfuls of the coins they'd taken at the gate and stationed them in the front row. Whenever Uncle Joab seemed like he was winding down, the youths were instructed to shower him with money and yell encouragement. This, of course, was the Oregon legislature's first event in which it threw money at a problem to make it go away. It worked in this case. The event was a huge success, and Uncle Joab bundled off home to his farm with his $30 in wages and his pockets full of tips. Which was just as well. The holy man of the Forks of the Sand Yam would probably not have wanted to be around Salem to see what the lawmakers did with the rest of the $300 fruits of his labors. They set up and stocked an open bar for themselves in one of the committee rooms. Yet another Oregon political first, but certainly not the last. Well, that's it for today's episode. And if you'd like some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, the podcast or the newspaper articles or anything else in the canon, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. The complete catalog of about 205 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to the audio and text feeds, and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed. The webpage is also where you'll find full citations to sources for this episode, which include books by Leona Nichols, Bill Gulick, and Wynn McCormick. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band. AtlasStringBand.com was written by Carmen Ficarra. The podcast here is covered under the Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. If you are coming to Corvallis or just want to chat, drop me a line. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Love to talk history with you, either electronically or in person, perhaps over a cup of coffee or a beer. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, just plain @offbeatoregon will get you to me. And that's it for today. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have a reading from the series that I call Stories, Legends, and Lies of Oregon, which are typically fictional and kind of historical fictional accounts of what life was like in Oregon 150 years ago. I have not yet picked a selection to give to read to you, so it will be a surprise. So until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.